Want to welcome any guests that we have today and welcome everybody online. Hope everyone had a good week. You know, it's funny, every time I get up here to speak, I always look up some jokes that I want to tell, and I can just never find any good ones. I've been going through some of my dad's old sermons and just recently been able to do that, and he would start with some of the stupidest jokes I've ever heard, and he'd always get a chuckle. And then he'd roast people, too. If it wasn't a joke, he'd go hard on somebody like a Charlie Grabe or a John Beam. And it was funny, and he got away with a lot. But all jokes aside, I'll try to fill his shoes in the comedy department on a different day. But there is another theme that stuck out to me when I was going through his messages, and that was his unbridled enthusiasm for God's kingdom, which was backed by an unwavering faith. That's the title of my sermonette today, Unwavering Faith. Every week we come in here like soldiers off the battlefield. We get a small break from the world. We get a chance to regroup, lick our wounds, have some hot chocolate. If you made it here today, or you're listening online, good work, soldier. Doesn't it feel like Satan has been ramping up the attacks on God's people recently? It's not easy to show up here every week. Like we heard in a recent message by Mr. Grabe that I really appreciated, we have to put on the whole armor of God to quench these fiery darts. These darts have been coming in all shapes and sizes recently. Just like you think you've seen it all, and then something new happens. While we have these couple minutes today, I want to take some time and strengthen our shields of faith and do a deep dive into Psalm 23. Let's go ahead and turn there together, Psalm 23. You know, I love reading Psalms because there's just so much encouragement. And King David, there's not a lot of humans that can beautifully explain their relationship with God and how much they love God. And it's just such a beautiful thing to read. Something that feels different about Psalm 23. It feels incredibly reassuring. You know, when my dad was sick, we would sit and we'd read with him every day. We'd read the Bible to him. And toward the last couple weeks of his life, for some reason, he wanted me to keep reading Psalm 23 over and over again. Honestly, reading the words make me emotional. I can see myself sitting by his bedside. I can see his eyes closed, having the words just pour over him, and I can see him just feeling relaxed. This psalm comforted him in his darkest valley because of his unwavering faith in God's plan. I hope if you're going through a trial right now, you will use this psalm as an anchor. So let's get into it. The heading in my Bible says, "The Lord, the shepherd of his people." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is an amazing beginning. So simple. But God, as our shepherd, like David is admitting here and recognizing, he's acknowledging the fact that we are not our own. We are his. We are bought and we are paid for with a price, an incredible price. We are the sheep of his pasture. If we could turn together to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Paul writes and he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have an owner. And as our owner, God knows our spiritual needs. He bought us for a reason. He bought us for an incredible price. Make a note here to go and read Ezekiel 34, because God goes into great detail of how he is the true shepherd of his flock. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and he gives his life for the sheep. The fact that he is willing to die for us, to die for you, means that he is totally focused on your well-being. He knows what you need in order to prepare for eternal life. He's not just going to leave you hanging. He died for you. Since the purpose of this mortal life is to transform our minds from being physically focused to being spiritually oriented, the shepherd gives us what we need in order to achieve this conversion. Now stay with me here. In addition to his forgiveness, in addition to the life that he gave us, in addition to the gifts of his Spirit, his faith, his grace, he takes it one step further, and he provides us opportunities for spiritual development through trials and suffering. Now let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 13. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Let's jump down to verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then let's go down to 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now, there's a lot to unpack there. But the key point that Peter is saying here is that when we go through these trials, we can't have the human reaction and crumble. We can't run. We have to face them. We have to face them with almost a happiness, which sounds crazy. And it's hard to do when you're going through hell, let's be honest. But let's also be honest in the fact, too, that when we do this, we understand that, you know, it's the human urge to crumble, but we have to commit our souls to him. We have to fight that urge. Suffering is necessary to gain this greater depth of understanding. David knew it. When David was writing these words, he was going through many trials. He had many people out for his life. He saw lots of death. And yet he says, I lack nothing. I want nothing. Jesus Christ, our Savior, had to suffer. In order to be that high priest, that perfect high priest, he had to learn what it was like to go through that. He had to be tested in every single way, like we are tested in every single way. So when we go and we understand that this shepherd that's leading us, he hasn't gone through anything that we haven't got, that we go through. He knows what you're going through. He's been through it. Let's continue on here. Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, sheep that are not adequately fed will refuse to lie down. They'll walk about, they'll roam, they'll seek good food, and they won't lie down until they have that green pasture. And when we focus on that, those words, green pasture, it means the pasture is alive. It's green. The word is alive. He leads me beside still waters. You know, in my research, I actually saw that this actually isn't the best translation. Based on the Hebrew and other translations, it's he leads me to water where I may rest. The Hebrew word for rest here is manucha. I'm probably butchering that. But it's the same, it means cessation of labor. It's the same word that's used in connection with Israel's rest in the Promised Land. It's the same rest that's promised in the kingdom of God. So see what God's saying here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We eat that spiritual word that he provides us. He leads us to his Holy Spirit. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. You know, Christ is within us. And we see in Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Christ is in us. When we went under that water and we came up, we became a new person, and Jesus Christ became inside of us, and he is leading us. You know, Jesus makes it pretty clear what we need to do to follow him. He sets that example. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says, love is the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus shows us that example. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we are being led by that Spirit. He's leading us. And he's leading us, why? For his name's sake, as we continue on. His name's sake. He is our Savior. And that Savior, that name, belongs to him. If we go to Acts 4, verse 12, let's go to Acts 4, verse 12. I'm hitting a lot of scriptures today. I'm going to get in trouble. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. His name, Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, for his name's sake, is why we are saved. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the valley of the shadow of death is our present evil world. It's pictured in different ways, but the sheep know that their physical lives will come to an end. They know that the death that we have to go through is not permanent. My dad knew that when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he was comforted because he knew that that staff and that rod, God was equipped to be with him. That promise that God gives us, that when he wakes up in that new spiritual body, he's not going to be sick anymore. He's going to be in God's kingdom with his family forever. And the sheep know that. Going back to the rod and the staff, the shepherd's rod protects us from forces of evil. It represents a power and authority. The staff provides help and assistance when we need personal intervention. It's for a shepherd, it's used to help pull a sheep or a lamb that's strayed too far over a cliff. It saves them. Let's continue on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now the sheep know that this green pasture, this water, this table that is prepared before us, we're doing this in this physical world. Ever since Adam, we've been doing it in the presence of our enemies. We've been doing it in the presence of Satan. There's people in our lives that we just know that there's something going on with them. There's something not right. There's something affecting them. We have to eat this spiritual food and this water now while we're in the presence of our enemies. But we know that God has prepared that table. You anoint my head with oil. Again, God goes back and reminds us, leading us to the water, leading us to oil, his Holy Spirit. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, That line right there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that is unwavering faith. There's two things that are being promised there, goodness and mercy. And I know that that's what my dad believed. He knew that if he followed God, he followed Jesus Christ with everything that he had, surely goodness and mercy would follow him. It's an absolute trust in God. And I want to point out a key here too, because the second part of that, yes, we want goodness, but we also need mercy. You know, a lot of us, it's easy to stand up here and it looks like, oh, I've got it all figured out. But we're all sinners. We all fall short. If you say that you've been baptized and you haven't sinned, then you're a liar. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, God promises as long as we're repentant, and that's what this cycle is. It's constant repentance and getting better, repentance, getting better, repentance, getting better. As long as we stay repentant, we will have that mercy that he promises us. And let's finish up here. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So my friends, we're in a battle. I know many of you are currently in that dark valley. I hope you will use this psalm to run to use it as an anchor, and have that unwavering faith in God's plan, because we do win in the end. Happy Sabbath.